future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
We're winning now!
With the second pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State.
I was super excited once I got that phone call. I had a feeling this morning when I woke up, I was like, man, I'm going to Texas for sure. But I just had a feeling, man. I'm really blessed to have it come true and have an opportunity to live in H-Town.
With the third pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Will Anderson Jr., linebacker, Alabama.
They just have a ton of respect for me, and they just think I'm a special player, and I think it just gives me so much more confidence, you know, to walk in there and just be myself and be Will Anderson, knowing that I have a coaching staff that really wanted me.
It is the bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Those were the voices, of course, of Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, and your newest Texans, or maybe the first two Texans selected over these last few days, C.J. Stroud, the former quarterback from Ohio State, and Will Anderson, the pass rusher from Alabama. Guys, of course, Sean Mapes here with me from the Paul Gallant Show, R.J. Saunders from the bench, our man Josh behind the glass as well. It's the bullpen with the producers here at ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. We're obviously going to get into lots of Texans. We'll get some Astros and Rockets next hour. If you have thoughts on anything we say today, please give us a call on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Obviously, Thursday night was one of the crazier nights in franchise history. I know, RJ, you were at the draft party of Valencia. Sean, I'm not sure where you were watching the draft. I was here.
I was also at the draft party.
Were you also at the draft party? I was up here at the ESPN 97.5 studios running the board for the draft show. One of the craziest nights in franchise history, Sean, I'll just start with you. What was your reaction just to what unfolded Thursday night with the Texans drafting C.J. Stroud after we spent months hearing that they had no interest in him, and then obviously the massive trade-up to get Will Anderson?
I mean, it was absolutely stunning. Like, okay, so first, the number two pick, C.J. Stroud, you're like, okay, Cal won out, or you know, the idea
that was a popular thought.
The idea
yeah.
was that Cal was pushing for the quarterback, and D'Amico wanted, and Casario probably wanted Will Anderson. So you're like, okay, so ownership made this pick. That's fine. You know, whatever. And then, of course, there's 10-minute breaks between all these picks, which I hate. Somewhere in those 10 minutes, there was an Adam Schefter report.
Yeah.
Where he is just like almost yelling into the microphone like, and there's been a trade, and the Houston Texans are using some of the draft capital from the Deshaun Watson draft, moving back up to number three, and you're just like, oh, my God.
It was so surprising. It shocked a veteran like Adam Schefter. Like, yeah. Even a guy like Adam Schefter, who's seen it all,
was shocked. I wasn't sure if he was doing that or if he was like, they will use this clip in when they make the sequel to Draft Day. They, like, they will use this clip to tell someone how to act, because he really was putting on a show with the, like, oh, my God. It's like, it is surprising. But it's also what Daniel Jeremiah had mocked earlier that
He had it exactly. Yeah. RJ, what were your thoughts on as this was unfolding? I mean, obviously, you and I both wanted C.J. Stroud, right. So I know we're happy there. Yeah. But your thoughts on what they gave up to get to Will Anderson and just the craziness that played out over those 20 minutes?
When you look at it, it can go one of two ways. You can say, listen, they gave up a lot of draft compensation to move up from 12 to 3 to get Will Anderson. And now you're putting a lot of pressure on Will Anderson to be very good because of all the draft capital you gave up. However, I mean, if there was any time that the Texans were going to swing for the fences, didn't you think that this was going to be the draft to do it? I mean, so for them to be able to take those picks and get who many believe is the best defensive player in this draft, and to also get the quarterback, which, as much as I feel this was management wanting C.J. Stroud, I also think this was for the fans as well. I don't think the fans were wanting to go this whole entire season without at least some sort of quarterback that is not named Davis Mills. I don't know if they wanted to see Case Keenum out there either. So for number two and number three to get the second-best quarterback in the draft, and then you also get arguably the best defensive player in this draft, absolute pandemonium.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people make this case. I mean, you guys have both said it here, kind of the idea that the ownership made the pick. And look, I get why that might be a turnoff to some people. You want your football people making the football decisions, not someone like Cal McNair, who people haven't obviously had a lot of faith in over the last few years. But, I mean, you guys have just said it. You couldn't go into this season throwing Davis Mills and Case Keenum back out there. Why are we mad that if Cal McNair forced them to say, take a quarterback, why are we mad about it? You want them to take a quarterback.
It is terrible process. It is what the Texans did is not how you draw it up on a whiteboard.
Sure.
However, I kind of agree with it. Yes, with ownership. Exactly. They're like, I don't want to watch Davis Mills or do the Trey Lance reclamation project. Like, give me CJ Stroud. It really is like you couldn't agree on what to have for dinner. So you're like, you know what? We'll have two. Like, we'll go to two restaurants.
Both. Yeah. You stop at Wendy's and Taco Bell. Exactly. You get a little bit from both. Yeah.
And they walk away with two blue chippers from this draft. So you can't be too upset. It's not like they reached for one of these guys. They got the consensus number two quarterback, number two overall.
A guy Daniel Jeremiah has raved about.
And they got the consensus best non-quarterback in this draft, well, other than probably Bijan Robinson. Yeah. But they got the best player that you would pick at number three overall because running backs are second-class citizens. Except for in this draft.
Yeah.
But
we'll get to that later.
But yeah, so you walk away with the absolute, however long the list of like bankable good players that the draft analysts feel good about, you walked away with two of them.
Yeah, because what we heard, at least what I heard going into this draft was, oh man, there's only like 15, maybe 20 first round caliber players. Yeah. That's what people were telling us. Like there's not 32 or 31 in this case because the Dolphins screwed up and tampered with an old quarterback. But there weren't that many. There weren't enough first-round caliber prospects to fill up the entire first round. So to walk away with arguably, what, two guys in the top four? Yeah. Two guys in the top five? I mean, we've watched the Indianapolis Colts in this division go Carson Wentz and go Phillip Rivers, just go Matt Ryan, just rehash quarterback after rehash quarterback. And Sean pointed out, it's not the ideal way to run the franchise if it happened, because I'm still not convinced that it definitely happened that Cal made the pick.
Right.
But, I mean, who in the world would argue against this, RJ, if what he did was prevent them from going into the season with Case Keenum and Davis Mills as their quarterback?
And I understand that there were those who said the Texans shouldn't reach on a quarterback if they don't believe in anybody. However, there have been those such as Merrill Hodge or Daniel Jeremiah or others that have been of the contrarian opinion that have said, at least with Merrill Hodge, as far as Merrill Hodge is concerned, he said, I only got one quarterback that I have a first-round grade on. Now CJ Stroud. A lot of other guys, Dan Orlovsky and others, have said, listen, we believe in CJ Stroud. There has to be something that either, A, we're not seeing that they are, or maybe inside of the front office and in the war room when it really got down to it, they said, listen, we're willing to take a chance on C.J. Stroud, because what we have already in the quarterback room is not going to be good enough for us anyway. So it does create some sort of excitement here in the city of Houston, because if C.J. Stroud hits, you have your quarterback for the next decade. But if he doesn't, yeah, it's going to be really bad here.
I don't even think it's taking a chance on C.J. Stroud. But a year ago, the consensus was, well, it'll be Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud at the top of next year's draft. And then all through the college football season, it's going to be C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young at the top of the NFL draft. And then this happens every year in the draft process. It's
another
like,
QB.
Hey, what about this guy? What about this guy? Are we sure?
Because Anthony Richardson showed up to the NFL combine and lit the world on fire. Yeah,
exactly. And so, like, C.J. Stroud comes with the pedigree of who would be a number two
pick. He was what, back-to-back Heisman finalist? We've known this guy was coming.
If the Texans didn't pick him at two, and the Texans just stood pat and picked Will Anderson number two, someone was going to trade up for him at number three.
The rumors are that both the Titans and Colts were ready to trade
up
for three.
And so that's why when you get to the trade, that's why they had to pick C.J. Stroud first.
Absolutely.
And then trade the pick. And what they gave up was a lot. I will not sit here and say that they did not give up a lot of stuff to move up from 12 to number three. They gave up the 12th pick, obviously. They gave the 33rd overall pick, so that's the second pick in the
which
became Will Levis. So they helped their enemy right there. Yeah. And then they gave up their own first-round pick and third-round pick in 2020.
And got back and forth. Yeah, see.
So that is a hefty price tag, but it is less hefty of a price tag when you consider that they are basically making that trade for C.J. Stroud, not Will Anderson.
Yeah, and you made an excellent point, and I've pointed this out. I know others have pointed out, but the Texans made a smart move by taking Stroud first, because certainly their competition for trading up to three, as you pointed out, Sean, would have been way more intense. Way more teams would have been involved if a quarterback was on the board versus an edge rusher. So, and I'm there obviously is risk involved with giving up what they did to get up to number three. It was a lot, but of course you're going from 12 to three. Of course it's going to be expensive. You don't trade up into the top five without giving up a lot.
I think the 49ers. Did they come up from 12 to when they traded for Trey Lance?
Oh, for Trey Lance? I don't remember exactly their spot.
They gave up three first-round picks, is what I'm saying.
And I saw somebody, speaking of three first-round picks, I saw somebody on Twitter, I forget his name, I think it was Scott Barrett. I forget who he writes for exactly at the moment, but he was trying to make the argument, oh, they gave up three first-round picks. And again, I know it's risky, I know they gave up a lot, but when you break it down to me, this really isn't as expensive as has been made out to be, because obviously, let's start off from going to 12 to 3. That's not giving up a first-round pick. It's a pick swap.
You gained in it.
Yeah. Then you go to giving up the third next year, but getting the fourth. That's a third-fourth swap.
Yeah.
You obviously lose some value, but we're talking about day three picks. So I'm not going to cry over day three picks when it's to go up and get a generational, what they think is a generational pass rusher. So now you're talking about only giving, and I air quotes, only, but now you're talking about only giving up pick 33 this year and next year's first, which is a lot. I'm not going to try to say it's not, but the hit rate on those picks is at what, at best 50-50?
Yeah. Probably
even less when you're factoring both. So if you're going to look at it from the mind frame of you're probably only hitting on one of those two picks that you're actually giving up outside of the pick swaps, you're really talking about trading Anderson one for one for the player you theoretically would have hit on, and it's not even a guarantee you would have hit on either of those two picks.
Yeah, exactly. And so the Niners actually did in 2021, did move up from 12 to
12 to three, and you said they gave up three actual first?
Yeah, they gave up, well, one of them's the
pick swap. Okay, yeah. So two actual first, yeah. So, yeah, and we can get more into the other side. There's more to get into as far as what impact it'll have on the Texans next year, some of their picks later in the draft. We're not going to go into rounds 5, 6, 7. I'm not going to go that deep. I have no desire to. But there were some interesting third-round picks that we need to talk about next. So let's carry over the NFL draft conversation, getting into the Texans' third-round picks and how we feel about the selections from the rest of the AFC South. That's next in the Bullpen with Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Howdy! Let's go Texans! The Los Angeles Rams have traded the 69th pick to the Houston Texans. With the 69th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Nathaniel Dell, wide receiver out of Houston.
Howdy. Welcome back to the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I know it's only 10:18. We usually do this in the last segment, but can we preemptively make that guy the worst person in sports this week?
Yes.
As a show?
That's an agreement.
Okay. Well, all right. He is the official worst person in sports this week. We'll give a few more out at the end of the show, but yeah, starting it off with howdy. Apparently that was the guy, some dude that was like a YouTuber, an influencer, was the graphic they put up on the NFL broadcast.
I didn't know that the Texans had influencer fans.
I didn't either.
After all these years,
you hire on DeMeco Ryans, things change, you get influencers on board. I have no idea who that was. Brian Cushing made the pick before Juice Scruggs. And let's get into some of these third round picks, and then we'll get to some more kind of like overarching stories about the Houston Texans. Again, it's the Bullpen, Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald, our man Josh behind the glass. And look, I mean, the Texans went into this draft, I think it was undeniable that their four biggest needs were quarterback, pass rusher, center, and wide receiver. Their first four picks were quarterback, pass rusher, center, wide receiver.
Talk.
So, yeah, look, I mean, I guess some people might say, like, oh, maybe, you know, people are more fans of draft, you know, best player available than draft for need. I mean, maybe you could tell me if these guys weren't the best players available. I'm not sure, but they certainly hit on their needs.
Yeah.
Of the picks outside of Will Anderson and in C.J. Stroud, Sean, what pick of the rest of the group excites you the most?
I would say the Tank Dell pick. I mean, it's very crowd-pleasing to go, hey, you know that
really, from UH, yeah.
And also just the really exciting small receiver whose nickname is Tank.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. Really yeah, they drafted Tank and Juice.
And Juice.
That's fun.
Oh, yeah. No, I was also going to say Juice Scruggs. First-round talent off name alone. That's such a good name.
By the way, do you know why he's called Juice?
Hit me.
So this was from at Mr. Cole Thompson, who does overnights on Sports Map Radio, our sister network. I don't know what you would call it. But apparently Juice said, I didn't drink milk as a baby, so I only drank juice. That's how I got the nickname. Apparently he was refusing milk bottles as a baby, just drinking juice.
And he still became big enough to be an offensive lineman.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Shout out to Big Milk. You're coming down.
But I think the Tank Dell pick is such a crowd-pleasing move. He doesn't have to move. He's then the type of player you're getting is a small, exciting wide receiver that's going to operate in the slot and has some of that big yak potential that you see in the San Francisco offense. And at one point, I hope we can talk about the Houston Texans offense without saying, oh, he's like this player in the San Francisco offense.
I don't know. Bad news for Sean. I don't think that's going away.
I wish I could say I could compare him to someone who isn't Brandon Ayuk. Or, right. You know, I wish I could just – there's some proof of concept actually on the field for the Texans. But that is what the Shanahan offense does. They try to generate yards after the catch in the passing game. So that's how – Jimmy Garoppolo can just make a one read, and then it's a 40-yard gain. It's because you're getting the ball into your playmakers in space, and that's something that Tank Dell should be able to immediately do in the NFL. And also the Texans Twitter account tweeting out that he apparently DM'd the Texans. Did you not see that?
Oh, yeah, like, no, don't let me leave Houston. Yeah.
He DM'd the Texans like, hey, don't let me leave Houston in, like, December of 2022.
Okay.
And, he
only has to drive over from Coley to Kirby. It's not a long drive.
Well, he probably gets a different apartment.
Probably, yeah.
I'd assume he moves.
I don't know. I don't know how much the third round picks are making. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out because you mentioned the San Francisco offense. Obviously Debo Samuel, someone that's been versatile for them, both getting carries out of the backfield and being a wide receiver. So they use Ayuk in unconventional ways. So it'll be interesting to see because now you have a lot of pieces. I think you're going to see Robert Woods in Nico Collins line up on the outside. I think that's pretty much set in stone.
Right.
But with the use of John Metchie, who's now returning to football activities, and Tank Dell, I think you could see, obviously, being used in the slot, being used in the kick or punt return game, being used on, you know, reverses and sweeps and out of the backfield on carries. So it'll be interesting to see how they line up. RJ, your thoughts on the Tank Dell pick and just what the Texans did to address their biggest needs.
I absolutely love the Tank Dell pick just because, yes, he is a hometown guy. I also think that you need to add weapons for C.J. Stroud. I think the guys that you had now, I mean, they're good, but, you know, John Metchie is coming off an injury. He sat out all last year. I know he needs time. Robert Woods is going to be that old veteran leader in that wide receiver room. I don't know if that's going to be C.J. Stroud's favorite target this season, but you definitely need a guy like that. This team is definitely going to need, you know, just that veteran leadership. And Nico Collins, you know, is probably going to be your young stud as far as wide receivers go. So you're definitely giving weapons to C.J. Stroud. But you also got a guy in Juice Scruggs that is going to help protect the quarterback. And I think that's probably the most important thing for the Houston Texans. This is your big investment in C.J. Stroud. You got to get guys to protect them. You did that a little bit in free agency with Shaq Mason. Then you go in the draft and you get Juice Scruggs. So I think those are two guys in Tank Dell as well as Juice Scruggs that they really feel a need, and they feel a need immediately with a guy like C.J. Stroud who you have. Now I think Bobby Slowick is going to have some pieces that he can play around with, although they may not be, you know, five-star talents that you see, you know, with like the Chiefs or with the Eagles. This is something that you can definitely build around.
Yeah, it's exciting because I think when we looked at this team last year, they're just really outside of, you know, the guys they drafted in the previous year, like Derek Stingley and Jalen Petrie. There weren't a lot of guys that you looked at and like, okay, this guy we want on the roster in three, four years.
They didn't have any blue chippers.
And now they do. They've got guys. Look, now a lot of the guys that we mentioned, like Robert Woods, and on the defensive side, Jimmy Ward and Sheldon Rankins, they're not guys that are probably here long term, but they at least have guys, enough players around the key building blocks to make this team interesting. And specifically with the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, we've seen this franchise before, you know, put Derek Carr in situations where he had nothing around him.
Yeah.
And you didn't give him a chance to develop because he had nobody to throw to. He had nobody to block for him. Obviously, Deshaun Watson didn't have it as bad, but he had a terrible offensive line his rookie year. So it's exciting to see, you know, them actually put pieces around C.J. Stroud to give him the best chance to develop. So, I mean, we've gone over the first four picks of this Texans draft. I guess the question going into next year, besides what you think these guys will do, is does this have any impact on their 2023 record, Sean?
I do think it will. I don't think that anyone that they drafted will have as big of an impact on their 2023 record. Or, yeah, 2023. That's what year it is.
Yeah, 2023.
on this year's record than the fact that in the Will Anderson trade that they traded their own first-round pick.
Yeah.
So now they actually have to win these games. There's no, if they lose, well, hey, that helps our draft pick. Nope. You just got to win these games, buddy. Yeah. Like that is all.
I do like that aspect.
That is
it.
All you have to do.
Yeah, so, it incentivizes them to win.
It's Hernan Cortez burning the boats when he landed
wow,
in America.
Wow, you've been hanging around Paul too long. You're missing historical references to talk about the Texans. We'll hear a clip in a little while on the worst person of the week where Paul brought up Pearl Harbor when talking about the Texans. So, that sounds like you've been hanging around them a whole lot. So, I mean, I think we're all on cloud nine right now with these picks. Everyone's happy with it. But, I mean, the other side of this, RJ, if this does go wrong, our excitement it doesn't pay off and things go wrong with these picks, what does that look like? What happens to make this fail?
I think maybe CJ just isn't the guy. And I don't know what that means. Is it that, you know, listen, we gave him the requisite weapons and he still wasn't able to produce? Is he just not able to read defenses correctly? You know, if he's just not that guy, this puts you back at least a couple of years because now, no, you're not in the Drake May nor the Caleb Williams sweepstakes for next year. But I feel like you're going to give him a year anyway. I don't know who's out there in free agency who you say, oh, we'll take a flyer on this guy. I mean, you know, is it Trey Lance that you look at in the next couple of years? Or is there another quarterback that's out there that maybe is a backup and that you say, listen, we'll try it out with him. We feel like he deserves an opportunity. But I'm in the class of I don't think that this is going to be a bad pick. I don't think C.J. Stroud is going to be a bad quarterback. I've, you know, pounded the table saying that C.J. Stroud is going to be a stud in the NFL. So I'm hoping that the Texans can bank on that and have their quarterback of the future. But if this does go bad, I don't know when's the next time or what trade that you could make to put yourself in the top three to top five that you say, you know, we're going to get our quarterback of the future. So hopefully this hits. I feel that it will, though.
Yeah, I feel like it will hit as well. And I just like, look, sometimes what's the term that everyone ever uses? Trust the process. Like, I think every franchise uses the trust the process line at one point. And I'm trusting the process right now, not only because of the players they picked, but to me, the most important positions in football are obviously quarterback, left tackle, corner, pass rusher, wide receiver. And they're taking shots at all of those. Do they work out? We'll find out here in the next 2 to 3 years, 4 years, however long you want to give for these guys to develop. But at least I think they're approaching it in the right way. All right, let's carry the NFL draft conversation over. Next up, Patrick Creighton from Late Hits will join us, give his thoughts on what the Texans did in the NFL draft, the bullpen with Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, and RJ Saunders returns in 3 minutes on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5 is the Bullpen with the producers here at ESPN Radio. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, myself, Brian McDonald, our man Josh behind the glass. And joining us now to join in on the NFL draft conversation, what the Houston Texans did, is the host of Late Hits, my man Patrick Creighton, who I've known for about a decade now, going back to her time at the flagship. PC, welcome to the bullpen. Your first time on the show. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man, guys. Thanks for having me on. Look at you guys up early on a Sunday doing the Lord's work.
The hardest working people in sports talk radio is what they've called the three of us. I think that's fair. So, Patrick, we'll start with the obvious. Your overall thoughts on the Texans NFL draft and the trade-up for Will Anderson. Was it too much?
Listen, if you're not happy with the Texans draft, you might be a hateful person. You probably hate things like life, happiness, success. You probably hate things like fun. You're probably a Dallas Cowboys fan, and your name might be Jeremy Brown. This should be like the happiest moment for any Texan at the draft in 6 years. They got so many things right in this draft. They got some elite players at the top. You know, they had 12 draft picks coming in. They still came out with 9. They got impact players. They got guys who could be the face of the franchise. And this was a great draft for the Texans. You should be happy. You should be excited, man, especially after watching the Roughnecks, you know, channel their inner Houston Oilers last night and lay a colossal egg. You should be happy that the Texans look like a team. Hey, they're going in the right direction. There is no more embracing the suck. They're looking to make good forward moves this year. Be a team that, you know, might be around 500 at the end of the year. You know, the progress of, we're no longer digging out of the hole of Bill O'Brien, and we're actually moving forward to becoming a good team again. This was a good weekend for the Houston Texans. Maybe a great weekend for the Houston Texans. And if you think about all the talk about, oh, they're going to pass on a quarterback and all that stupidity, and then they go in and get C.J. Stroud, a guy I had as the number one quarterback. A lot of people had as the number one quarterback. If they didn't have him as the number one quarterback, they had him as the number two quarterback. They got the right guy. When you went into the draft, did you feel like, oh, my gosh, please just don't screw this up. Please just don't screw this up. Because you've been beaten down and dragged down by the horrors of Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby. They're gone. The ghosts are gone. Now we get to have a real competent NFL franchise. And I feel really good about that.
You said that they're going to be a real competent NFL franchise now, and I do agree with that. And that is part of why I have less of a problem with giving up your own first-round pick next year. And I really think in the Will Anderson trade, I think that's really where this trade kind of lives and dies, I guess, in most people's eyes, is the fact that they gave up their own first-round pick. And to me, it is not that big of a problem if you expect them to take a step forward next year. So, Patrick, is that a reasonable thing to expect? Are we going to sit back a year from now and realize, oh, we only gave the Cardinals the 13th pick in the draft? Or is it going to be the doomsday scenario that we lived through just a few years ago?
No, you know what? The doomsday scenario is basically, you know, the beaten dog syndrome from the last few years. They're going to screw it up. They're going to be awful. Everybody likes to point to last year and say, oh, they're going to be just as bad again. What makes anybody think the Texans are going to be a three-win team again? You know, they don't have $70 million in dead space where they can't actually do anything in the free agent market or grab guys. I mean, do people forget all the different moves that this team made? I know they didn't sign anybody to a five-year, $140 million contract. But, you know, they went and they got Shaq Mason. And they went and they got Dalton Schultz. I thought Noah Brown was an underrated move. That was a guy who did really well for the Cowboys early in the season, you know, before they kind of phased him out because Michael Gallup came back and played terribly. They brought in Devin Singletary, who's a really good running back. You know, they brought in Sheldon Rankins, who's a terrific interior lineman. They traded for Denzel Perryman. You know, I mean, they made a lot of moves that made a lot of sense. And now you have a quarterback, you have an edge rusher. I don't think the Texans are going to have a top five pick next year. I think the Texans pick might even be better as far as further down. The Browns pick may be higher in the draft than the Texans pick. The Browns play in a much tougher division. The Browns might be the third or fourth team in that division. They're not as good as the Bengals. They're not as good as the Ravens. I'm not even sure if they're as good as the Steelers. So you look at the Texans division, Indy's going to stink. Tennessee sliding back. They beat those teams 3 or 4 times when they stunk. So you know what? Let's not panic. Oh, my gosh, they're going to give up a top-5 pick. No, they're probably going to give up something between 10 and 15. But they're also going to have something between 8 and 15. So they basically, did they give up a pick here? Did they give up a lot yet? Did they get a player they think can be an absolute impact face of the defense type guy? Yeah, and those guys are worth it.
Absolutely. So, Patrick, with you being high on C.J. Stroud and also Will Anderson, as a lot of others were, when you look at the trade that happened for Will Anderson, you do have those that say, well, they gave up a lot and now feel like there's going to be pressure for Will Anderson or C.J. Stroud to be good, depending on who you say the trade was actually for. However, in your opinion, how patient would you like the fan base to be with these two rookies? Because I feel that in year one, a lot of guys are going to expect these two guys to, be fireworks and, just shooting for the stars. But just give us a sense of how patient we should be with these two rookies.
They're rookies, but they're really high-end rookies. So their first year, look, they're going to have some rookie moments, but they're also going to have huge flashes. So, do you expect them to win 12 games? No. But I think that they could win somewhere between 6 and 8 games, and I think that's very realistic. If you're winning between 6 and 8 games, well, that means you have a shot to be a 500 team. So the idea of what are you going to get? Look, I expect C.J. Stroud to be, even in his rookie year, way better than what we got from Davis Mills last year. Will Anderson is probably going to have double-digit sacks, probably have 10 sacks. Jerry Hughes had a terrific year last year. So you've got Will Anderson, you've got Jerry Hughes, you have John Grenard. Now you've got three guys on the edge who can make impacts for you. So being able to rotate those guys in and out, they should have a little more success without having to play as many snaps. And I think that's especially important in the case of Bernard, who tends to get hurt a lot, and in the case of Jerry, who is a little bit older player. So I think that, realistically, you're going to see a lot of high-end upside from them in year one. And in year two, those guys might be legit stars.
Patrick Creighton from Late Hits joining us here on the Bullpen. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald. PC, I think the question I'm most interested with C.J. Stroud going forward, beyond just what he shows as far as his talent on the field, is have the Texans added enough around him as far as his weapons? We've talked about Dalton Schultz and Noah Brown. Obviously, they added Shaq Mason on the offensive line. Are you confident in what they put around C.J. Stroud that we're going to give him the best chance to develop?
Here's where I'm happy with what they've done. They bolstered the offensive line. The interior of the offensive line was a huge weakness for this team. Well, they improved with Shaq Mason. I know they traded up to get Juice Scruggs. That was probably a bit of a reach, but the reason being is positional scarcity. There were not a lot of guys at the center position in the draft. Very few of those guys were starter quality. And two other centers had actually gone in that round. So by the time the Texans were coming, we better move up and get the last. They intended to address center in the draft. But as the center starts to go a little earlier than expected, they moved up to make sure they weren't left holding the bag without a guy. So did they move up and take Juice Scruggs a little bit early? Yeah, they did. But they did so because if they had waited, he wouldn't have been there. And you could say, player value. Well, what good is player value if you've got a giant hole in your offensive line? You need the position. Sometimes the player is more important than, did we get the absolute best value for him? Absolute best value is something that, I hate to say this because I kind of fit into this category sometimes. It's what the nerds do. Right. Oh, well,
it's okay. You can say you call yourself a nerd, Patrick.
They get this guy for $100.25. You know what? You paid a little bit more. You got the guy that you needed to get, and that matters. The player sometimes means more than the value. And they also got a guy that, look, this guy can play center. And Drew Scruggs could legitimately, like, he can challenge to be the starting center day one. And if you saw Titus Howard's tweet about him, Titus Howard was pumped that they got him.
Patrick Creighton from Late Hits. You can hear him on these airwaves weekdays 7 to 9, unless Soccer Matters or the Aggies are on. Patrick, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
It's all right, Patrick. Have a good one. And again, make sure you listen to Late Hits weeknights 7 to 9 on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. All right. One more segment of NFL draft conversation left on today's show before we get into the Rockets. Joel Blank will join us at 11 o'clock, and we'll have some thoughts on the Astros at 11:30. Next, let's get into our thoughts on the entire league. Which teams made big improvements? Which teams totally screwed up their picks? Looking at you, Lions. We'll discuss that next in the bullpen with Brian McDonald, RJ Saunders, and Sean Mapes on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5 is the bullpen with the producers here at ESPN Radio, Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Josh behind the glass, myself, Brian McDonald. And a few more Texans thoughts before we get into the league as a whole, looking at the NFL draft, the best and the worst moves from these last few days. But I don't know how you guys feel about this, and certainly I know I'm reaching into a category where I might cross the age gap a little bit, talking about times when you guys were maybe too young to follow this. But for me, these last 3 days kind of capped off, probably, in my opinion, a top three NFL offseason for the Houston Texans, only comparing to 2006 when they hired Gary Kubiak, probably the best coach in the franchise history, had an amazing draft with Mario Williams and Owen Daniels, Eric Winston, D'Amico Ryans, obviously, in that draft. That was an all-timer. And then 2011, the hire of Wade Phillips to fix the defense. You draft J.J. Watt. You sign Jonathan Joseph and Danielle Manning in free agency and completely overmake the defense in one offseason. I mean, we've talked about some of the free agent moves that we've liked over the past, you know, however many shows we've done since this thing started in February, but where does this offseason rank for you guys? The hire of D'Amico Ryans, free agency moves that you like, now the excitement of the NFL draft. From your perspective, RJ, where does this NFL offseason rank for you with the Houston Texans?
As far as the Houston Texans go, I think this is tops, to be honest. I mean, I don't know because I haven't been here, you know, long. I've only been here now going on a year, so I'll go to you guys. But it just seems like there's been so much excitement since the D'Amico Ryans hire. You do what you did in the draft. There were a couple of guys that you acquired in free agency that seem that they're going to be, you know, very just effective players for the team. And you also get that veteran leadership. It just seems that, you know, like the city is going to be buzzing until we get, you know, to week one of the NFL regular season. Just that excitement and that hype and that curiosity to know what this team is going to look like. I haven't felt it like this, at least from a listener standpoint, and also us inside the studio talking about what the Texans can do, what they can be, what they're going to look like down the line. So as far as just how big this is, this may be tops for the organization.
I still have 2011 ahead of it. I mean, all of them, every offseason, we have more information than we do about how it actually worked out.
Yeah, we know what J.J. Watt turned into. Yeah.
So, they drafted a guy who won 3 Defensive Player of the Years in 4 years and hired a defensive coordinator that took this defense from last in the league to get him to the playoffs.
From historically bad to one of the top defenses.
Yeah. So, 2010, they went 6-10, and then they flipped the record in 2011, went 10-6. So, I would like to say that's going to be number one for a while.
That's the gold standard? That's what we're comparing
this
to?
That's going to be a tough one. I mean, Will Anderson, go out there and be J.J. Watt.
It's a tough ask.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that one's probably number one. But and this is not a very deep category of great Houston Texans.
I said top three, and there's three that I'm excited about. Most of the offseasons
2017 might be up there.
I'm right, because you talked about the benefit of hindsight. I'm scarred from what happened post that offseason. But
in the moment, the 2017 draft.
In the moment, it was pretty exciting.
In the moment, the 2017 draft is the number one Houston Texans draft of all time.
It's
as far as how people felt in the moment.
Yeah, and it's possible.
And to tie it in, this might be number two.
Yeah, I mean, I think with hindsight, 2006 was probably their best draft. But in the moment, people didn't feel that way because they passed on Vince Young and Reggie Bush.
Yeah, as a Texans fan in the moment,
I agree with that. So one more Texans thought before we get into the league as a whole. When you're looking at the young core talent, the building blocks on this team, Sean, I mean, now with Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud, if you're making a power ranking of the young players you feel most confident in, and we've talked about good rookie seasons from Jalen Petrie and Damian Pierce, people like Christian Harris, and want to see what Derek Stingley does in year two, where do these guys fall into those power rankings?
As most confident that
they'll succeed.
They'll succeed. So I would have to go probably Petrie and Pierce 1 and 2, just because of what they've already shown on the field. And they both play positions where if you have success as a rookie, I have pretty high confidence that you'll be able to continue that, especially at safety for Petrie. After that, then it does kind of get interesting where I think it might be Will Anderson number three, as far as I think
he will
be.
I hate to use the term sure thing, but he kind of feels like a sure thing.
I mean, only linebacker ever to start as a freshman for Nick Saban at Alabama. That's pretty good. And then he had 40 tackles for losses his last 2 years in college. Also very good.
Very good.
So yeah, I think
27 and a half sacks over the last two seasons.
Yes, and oh no, he didn't play anyone. Well, it's the SEC.
Yeah.
I think Will Anderson is next. And then after that, then it becomes the guys that are more you haven't seen anything, and you're also kind of like, I'm not sure. So Stingley, which it's unfair to say you haven't seen anything. He played all right.
He played all right. Everyone just compares him to Juice is the problem.
Yeah, it's sauce.
Yeah, sorry. I mixed up my nickname.
Food-related
juice,
nickname.
Sauce,
related.
You know,
you almost wrong have liquid.
You almost have a full meal going.
Yeah.
I think Derek Stingley is in that. We'll kind of wait and see. And then I have Stroud right there next to him because they come with the high pedigree of being number two and number three overall picks, but we just haven't seen anything. And it's a little less, I'm a little less sure about them than I am Will Anderson.
Yeah, when I look at it, Damian Pierce is my number one guy, just the season that he had. He's definitely going to be my number one guy. You look at Petrie as well, you know, I think Petrie is...
Had, what, 5 interceptions, I think, is rookie year?
Yeah, so definitely going to be... Those two guys are definitely, like, your building blocks. And then I agree with Sean. I think number three is Will Anderson. Just because you get this guy and you're hearing, you know, what if he turns into something like a Micah Parsons?
I've heard people make that comparison.
That'll be huge for the Houston Texans. So, I mean, you know, you have guys in Stingley and Petrie and also Will Anderson. If those three guys hit for you, I mean, you got three surefire guys that are young stars and young studs that you can build around as far as that defense goes. And then, of course, I mean, C.J. Stroud is going to be not a big question mark, but, you know, just the big hope that, hey, listen, if, you know, we hope that this guy is able to turn into something in a division that is still winnable. And this is coming from a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. I still feel like this division is still weak, and this is still a very winnable division between the Titans, the Jags, the Texans, as well as the Colts. So not saying that this year that the Houston Texans are going to be in that, you know, fighting for the number one position in the division. But if C.J. Stroud's able to show something, like Patrick said, and then you also have the other guys of your young core and they're able to show something, you're looking at year two, year three. These may be a couple of guys that, you know, this may be a team that's, you know, to be reckoned with in the AFC South.
It's an impressive young core. I mean, we haven't even mentioned names like John Metchie and Christian Harris, Tank Dell, who they just drafted. It's been a while since I've been this excited about a young core. If you want to give us a call, the HRMP listener line is 713-780-3776. If you have any thoughts on what the Texans in the NFL draft, the Rockets hire of Ime Udoka, or the Houston Astros and dropping two games in the World Series rematch against the Phillies. Right now, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. What was that, Josh? Okay. Yeah, let's go to Lamont, and he wants to talk about Tank Dell. What do you got, Lamont?
I want to talk about Tank Dell. It was two things I want to talk about. Tank Dell, Tank Dell was the first player in Casario's history that was a non a power five player. It seems like he always go big game, honey, but Tank Dell was the first one that was out of a non-power five school. And it was something else I wanted to get to. As far as everybody going about the draft compensation, about how much we gave up, yes, it was a lot, but this what kind of makes it easier for me is the fact that, you know, we got keep coming in, and Mitchell was a second-round pick. It's almost like bonus points. In the end, to me, it feels like we only gave up a first-rounder, but I know in reality we gave up, you know, a first and a second, but I mean, that's the way I make it work in my mind. That's all I have, fellas. Have a good study.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I shared my thoughts segment one that I didn't really think the compensation they gave up to get Will Anderson was all that damaging to them for reasons we laid out earlier. Check out the podcast page to hear all of that conversation. But he makes a good point where you're getting guys like John Metchie back. They're almost like additional picks. So Maybe that makes up for some of the draft compensation you lost.
And the Tank Dell point's also a good one where we talked during one of the breaks that Casario does have the big school bias, which I also
LSU,
have.
LSU, Alabama.
Give me Ohio State and the SEC. And then we'll go from there. And so the fact that Tank Dell is the first guy, at least the last two drafts, where he is a group of five guy, not from a power conference, that gives you some idea of what Casera thinks of his talent. That
he must be a special prospect if he's willing to look outside his usual
purview.
Place. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's get into quickly in the last couple minutes we have in this segment. Just our best and our worst moves here from the other teams in the NFL during the draft. Sean, what was your favorite move in the NFL draft by teams not named the Texans?
Favorite move? Just an individual.
Or selection. It doesn't have to be a trade-up, but just selection.
No, just like an individual, like one move as opposed to the whole class. Give me Devin Achane going to the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, okay. Just, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to pair with their older running backs. Yeah,
and just absolute speed all over the place. God, They're basically doing it how
Waddle and Tyreek.
I play Madden. It's just give me as many
fast guys. Just sort by speed and then just draft off of that
list. Give me all the fast guys. And the fact that an actual NFL team's doing that, I like it.
What was your favorite move, RJ?
I'll first go with this one. I'll go with Nolan Smith to the Eagles.
Man, they're drafting all Bulldogs.
Drafting all the Bulldogs. I think that they did a very good job. You get Jalen Carter, and I think you getting Nolan Smith and getting a guy who's his teammate, I think that's going to help Jalen Carter. So I like that move because it's going to help the guy that you drafted earlier.
Sure.
But also, I mean, it's interesting to me being a Jags fan. The Anton Harrison selection by the Jags is definitely going to be interesting because I wonder now what's going to happen with Cam Robinson. I understand
Think they're not going to pay him or something?
I feel like maybe this is his last go-around with the Jags. So, I mean, you know, the team went protect Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, as a Jacksonville fan, you love that. So I definitely love that move. But the Eagles and what they did in the first round and to get Nolan Smith to help out Jalen Carter – you know, with everything that's gone on and the news that surrounds Jalen Carter, I definitely think that is going to work dividends in Philadelphia as they try to go back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and quickly before we go to break here, I think my favorite moves just been the teams that realize you can't have just one great target to help a quarterback out. We talked about kind of that last week and why I wanted the approach of, and obviously I like what the Texans did, but why I wanted the approach of the Texans going Stroud plus two wide receivers. But with the Ravens taking Zay Flowers to pair with Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman, I like that approach, giving Lamar Jackson as many weapons as he could possibly have. And then the Vikings, even though they have Justin Jefferson, go ahead and taking Jordan Addison, because obviously their old man wide receivers now in Carolina, and they had to have that second weapon. Sean?
And the Seahawks getting JSN.
Seahawks getting JSN to pair with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Yeah, look, I mean, you look at the teams that are winning Super Bowls, getting to Super Bowls, it's not just one high-level target. It's kind of like when the NBA used to be you had to have one superstar, and then it became you had to have two, and then you had to have the big three. Yep. The NFL's changing, and I'm glad that teams are starting to catch up on that. All right, next segment, the Houston Rockets have their next coach. Let's discuss that hiring of Ime Udoka with Joel Blank from the Killer Bees. He joins us next. It's the Bullpen with Brian McDonald, RJ Saunders, and Sean Mapes on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.